Hello and welcome to Studio RC, an encouragement for your recovery and your faith. My name is Max and I am an alcoholic. I'm sober only by the grace of God and the fellowship of the program as contained in our literature. I'm also a believer and someone who wants to help and encourage you both in your recovery and your faith. So we've started a series called Elements. And so we just, again, this beginning will be the same each time we do the series. We're going to do a couple in the beginning, and then we'll add as we go. And this will be the beginning every time we add a different element. So why is this series called Elements? It's about taking all the various elements of a recovery church service and experience, putting them together, and taking them apart, looking at each one separately, but remembering that each of them work together to help complement and bring about the full recovery church experience. So we're going to, during this series, we're going to look at various areas of nuts and bolts, sort of the different elements that could help you in regards to understanding what recovery church is and how we do things. This is going to be an encouragement to help you in the various elements as you put together your recovery church service and you put together your team, and as you even you're putting together your planning topics and all the various elements of your recovery church team, movement, service. And so we're going to take a look at things and try to help you if you don't already know them. If you do, help fine-tune them a little bit and encourage them in a way that helps you going forward. So with that in mind, keep in mind, just as Paul said, we need each part of the body. Recovery church needs each and every element that your particular location already has. God has provided you with the elements that you need. And there'll be some solutions here for maybe some of the areas that you don't have or that you struggle in. So sit back, enjoy, and we're going to enter into another episode of Elements. This episode, we're going to jump right into the second part of our values. Last episode, we looked at the first six values. We looked at Jesus and the essential nature of Jesus. We looked at the importance of the Bible. We looked at unity, service, and then finally community. And so in our episode today, we are going to take a look at the second set of values. And we're going to take a look and see how those values inform how we make decisions and how it helps these values help undergird and not only are essential, but they are an essential element of what we do at Recovery Church. And so we left off last week with talking about community and how we can make partnerships with those in our community. So we're going to jump right in. The seventh value is steps. We work and believe in the 12 steps because they embody many of the Bible's core teaching and will lead a person closer to God. The steps, I think, are one of the most intense forms of discipleship. You have connection with God in step 1 through 3. You know, we recognize our powerlessness, or people of faith might say our sinfulness, but we recognize our need for God, and then we recognize God in that process. And then 4 through 9 is basically a confession, steps of confession, where we're confessing to others the exact nature of our wrong. We confess to God. We ask God, now that we see this, to take them from us, to make us more useful. Then we go out and make the list of the harms we have done, and then we make amends for those harms. And then 10, 11, 12 is, again, some people call those the maintenance steps. I think I heard, and I like this even better, the growth steps, where we continue to grow and we continue to do the work, especially the skill set that we learned 1 through 9, we continue to perfect in steps 10, 11, and 12. The 12 steps, they embody so many of the Bible's core teachings related to God's redemptive work, as well as our response to it. One of the greatest promises in the big book is our past will become our greatest asset. Well, how is that possible? The only way that is possible is that our past is redeemed. It becomes redeemed through the steps, and it's made new. It's made clean. It's made worthy. So we take this pile of junk, we put it through the steps, and by the end of the steps, we have this pile of golden nuggets that we can share with our experience and strength and hope with others. A thorough working of the steps will lead a person not only to a more abundant life, but will lead people closer to God as well as others. Why? Each and every step is about how can I be more useful to God and others? And specifically, the 7-step prayer says exactly that. Although all the steps are, how can I take away the things that get in my way of being useful to God and to others? And by the time we get to the 12th step, it says having had a spiritual awakening. So the whole process of the step is in order to have that relationship and get closer with God. And the big book says reborn, the biggest book, the Bible, says born again. But regardless of the language or how you define that, by the time we get to the 12th step, not only are we closer to God, but we may be rocketed into, as the big book says, the fourth dimension, this different dimension in our relationship with God so that we can share God with others. I think the steps are God-inspired, and I think the root of the steps can very much be found in and throughout Scripture. Now, I think for some people who are still searching or are not as open to more of the faith side of recovery, that might be daunting to say, well, these are just from the Bible. Whoa. The truth is, the steps are biblical work. And we're doing the work of the Bible through doing the steps. And so I encourage you to continue those. And that's one of the reasons it is one of our values, is because the steps really make a difference. Our 8th value is rotation. We serve with a spirit of rotation, with humility at the center of all of our efforts. In other words, we try to make sure everyone is shifting in and out of different positions. Now, some of the positions we have are specialty positions. Like, not everyone can lead worship, but the rotation may come in that you have multiple worship leaders, and so that you change the worship leader. Not everyone can run the media booth or some of the equipment back there, although many people can be trained, but maybe they don't have the ability or the wherewithal to want to do that. But even in that, we're trying to rotate so that, you know, whether it's Patty or Jimmy or Jen doesn't have to be on it every single week, that they can sit in the service because there's rotation, that they're not known as the sound guy or the worship person or if you have a moniker where you're known solely for one thing that you do, we probably want to breathe some additional life through rotation. We serve, we don't rule. And so our leaders, as it tells us in recovery, are but trusted servants. Our leadership structure, it looks a little different from AA or recovery, but it looks a little different than the church. And there's sort of a blend. There's no status at stake. Therefore, we have complete freedom to serve as we're needed and where we're needed. And some of the greatest team members are those utility people who can do anything. You need me to pray? Okay. You need me to give a testimony? Okay. You need me to work the mic stand, the camera? Okay, whatever you need. You need me to be a greeter. Okay, you need me to serve coffee or make the coffee. Okay, you need me to run and get water bottles. Okay, like those, like rotation, doesn't matter. What needs to be done, because the essential is we need to reach addicts and alcoholics. And what all the different elements that we're putting together are going to be essential to helping do that. And so that rotation, no status, but the freedom to do what is needed. We strive for a collective responsibility, not like personal authority, but like collectively together as a fellowship. We're really working together to move forward. Humility is at the center of all our efforts. And honestly, we just talked about the steps. The steps are about a lot about becoming less selfish and ascribing more humility. And humility is at the center of all of our efforts, even in rotation. We encourage all active servants to serve in twos and threes, to not do it alone. If you're the lead in a particular area, you know, in a perfect world, you know, you have someone who's training you to have greater responsibility than what you currently have, and you're training someone to have your responsibilities. And it's that leadership structure of always almost trying to train yourself out of a job so that the person behind you knows how to do it. And so if somebody doesn't show up, and in recovery church, unfortunately, there is relapse, and sometimes people don't show up. Well, what happens if the sound guy isn't there and no one else knows how to work the sound, or no one else knows how to work the camera, or do we just go without? So we want to try in our teams as we rotate to expand the base of those who know how to do something. If you're the only one who knows how to do something on your campus, I encourage you to try to find someone that you can train and share with and encourage to learn what you do. Now, we are uniquely gifted. And one of the things, as we look over the just landscape of recovery churches, we have an embarrassment of riches of very talented people, gifted people. God continues to bring gifted people under the recovery church movement tent in the various campuses, and we have incredibly talented people. It sometimes doesn't feel that way when we're at our own campus. But if you're the only one at your campus that can do something, continue to speak and encourage others. We ask that question, who's in front of you and who's behind you? Because we actively train our replacement and release new leaders. So that is essential leadership and will be very helpful for Recovery Church. Another element or value, of Recovery Church is prayer. We believe in prayer because prayer is powerful and it connects us with God. We want to be known as a people of prayer, praying for the sick and dying addicts and alcoholics, praying for them by name, praying for the people in the meetings who are struggling, in our services who are struggling and, are going day by day. We want to continue to pray for each and every one of them. We want to pray for when our members, our teammates are sick, or if they have something going on in their life, we want to be able to pray for them. Again, prayer keeps us humble because we continue to acknowledge where the power is coming from. I'm not doing this, God. I need your help. God restores us to sanity. Prayer is the primary work of God's people. Again, that's one of those things, that prayer and meditation of step 11, of connecting with God for the knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. God, what are you thinking? How can I join you where you're at work? And can you give me the tools, the power to do it? We believe that nothing of lasting value can be done unless it's bathed in prayer. You want to really pray up your services and your leadership team and make sure that that's at the forefront of what you do and who you are. Our 10th value is probably one of the most unique values for Recovery Church. And this is one of those things that I think defines Recovery Church, and it is our value called raw. Recovery Church is raw, unrefined, and authentic. It allows us to take faith-filled risks that almost always involves change. raw. The truth is we are a peculiar people that are led and empowered by the Spirit. Pastor Phil, our leader, likes to call us this beautiful mess. Recovery Church is raw, as are addicts and alcoholics. We would be inauthentic if we weren't raw. That doesn't mean swearing, but that does mean being real. Some of our new people, they may be raw to the point where they swear. We work and encourage them, but we're unrefined. We don't put any pretenses on. We don't have a dress code, you know, for the people coming, or, and we don't do those things. We don't put those things on. God's purpose means as we continue to engage addicts and alcoholics to take faith-filled risks. And when we take faith-filled risks, it almost always involves change. It involves changing ourselves, changing our approach, what we're doing, and that makes a big difference. So raw, one of our unique and most important values, or maybe one of the most celebrated Recovery Church values. We got two more. 11, sponsorship and discipleship. The more we give faith and recovery away, the more we receive. We cannot do this alone because we recover together. We see both sponsorship and discipleship as essential to our lives. We don't do this alone. We need other people. And I love that in how it works, it uses we language right from the first step. It says, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. It doesn't say I, it says we. And that, again, further underscores that we don't do this alone. We recover together. Now, we see sponsorship as a great opportunity for discipleship, because sometimes we're like, do I need someone to sponsor me or someone to disciple me? And it doesn't have to be so separated. It doesn't have to be, I either have a sponsor or I have someone who disciples me. Sponsorship should almost be an overflow of discipleship. Again, as we look at the steps, if we look at the steps as a model of discipleship, when we're sponsoring, it is discipleship. Now, in some of that sponsorship, discipleship, we may need to bring more of our understanding of the Bible in, and maybe that, you know, how do we live once we discover Jesus as our higher power? What does it mean to live more like Jesus? And so balancing that, because I don't think it's we can ask our people to be both sponsored and discipled. Like, it's hard enough to be sponsored, or it's hard enough to be discipled. Like, so we want to do something that kind of, that incorporates both. And we recognize the importance and significance of both. As Christians, as people of faith, we are commanded to make disciples and teach them to obey the commands of Christ and to teach what Jesus taught them. We are completing the Great Commission of spreading the word. And if we're to complete the commission that Jesus said, the Great Commission from Matthew 28, we will require the mobilization of every fully devoted disciple. We will need to carry this message to others. And so sponsorship and discipleship, it might be a season. A different season may require a different thing. In an early season, our recovery, we may really need to focus on the steps and sponsorship and getting over drugs and alcohol. But as we're growing, we may need greater understanding of the Bible and God's character. And so at Recovery Church, because we, again, engage and live in the tension between our recovery and our faith, that may help inform that journey. Because, again, as long as we're trying to stay 50-50 with our understanding of those things, that hopefully a sponsorship, discipleship outflow will be natural, that it won't be two separate things, that it'll be more of a natural singular thing. Final value, our 12th value, is love. Finally, we will be known for our love. God is love. And we will be known for our love. Without love, it tells us we are nothing. Just a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. We will love others boldly because Christ first loved us. We need to love others boldly because people loved us boldly when we were probably unlovable. When we first got into recovery, we were probably more than likely a mess. But people loved us, and we appreciated that. I want to close with the reading of, and this is one of the chapters that the early recovery founders read frequently. They would read from the book of James, the Sermon on the Mount, from the teachings of Jesus and Matthew, and they would read from 1 Corinthians 13. And I just want to read the description that Paul writes of love. What's interesting is the love that is described by God, the love that is in the Bible, is not described as feelings, but it's more about how we serve others. Listen to these words. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love, as described and lived out by God and Jesus, never fails. With that in mind, love equals action. It equals service, not about a feeling. But I would say that sobriety equals action and service. So if love equals service and recovery equals service, love equals recovery, equals sobriety. See if this doesn't work for you. I'm going to change one word. I'm going to change love to recovery and see if this description doesn't still fit for what we try to live out. Recovery is patient. Recovery is kind. Recovery does not envy. Recovery does not boast. Recovery is not proud. Recovery does not dishonor others. Recovery is not self-seeking. Recovery is not easily angered. Recovery keeps no record of wrongs. Recovery does not delight in evil, but recovery rejoices with the truth. Recovery always protects. Recovery always trusts. Recovery always hopes. Recovery always perseveres. Recovery, as described by God, never fails. It says in How It Works, rarely has a person failed who has thoroughly followed our path, a path of service and love. That is part of what being a campus of recovery church is all about, loving others in a way that transforms people's lives. That's what you're a part of. Congratulations. We are glad you are here and you are here for this ride. I thank you for coming to part two and another episode of Studio RC. We encourage you, subscribe, like, share, comment, do all those good things, because again, we just want to continue to get the word out about Recovery Church and more importantly about the concepts of Recovery Church and how they can impact and change a person's life. So thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time here at Studio RC. And remember, Recovery Church, 12 steps, one goal.